If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Thanks for listening. Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com, UDocs@gmail.com, YODOCS@gmail.com. Also on the phone, if you have a phone, would like to talk to Dr. Mike on the phone or our guests, 877-711-5211. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not with our weekly toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's the top of your agenda today, Dr. Mike? What do you like to have Dr. Ginsberg talk about first?
I would love to have him talk about how West Virginia could have this spill, the place not be investigated or examined for a huge number of years, and how you toxicologists could let that happen, Gary.
I first of all, don't work in West Virginia, and even if I did, as a toxicologist, we are usually the people who say don't drink the water after it's spilled. There are people in government, in programs like the Toxic Substances Control Program at the state level, who are supposed to inspect all of these industrial facilities to make sure that the tanks, in this case, a tank of chemical had a hole in it that released thousands of gallons of 4-methylcyclohexane methanol right into a river, undiluted, straight, flat into the river. And the Elk River in West Virginia is a source of drinking water. A mile downstream is the plant that picks up the river water and sends it out to 300,000 customers. So you better be darn straight that any regulator that has to look at the inputs to that river, whether it's from a sewage treatment plant or from some chemical company, which this was a coal washing chemical, needs to make sure that whatever outfalls are going in have been properly tested and cleaned up and neutralized before being allowed to go into a source of drinking water like that. Now, in my state, in Connecticut, we don't drink rivers. We drink either reservoirs or underground supplies. So we're in that. That wouldn't have happened in Connecticut, but it's the rules are different every state you go into. So how did it happen? Yeah, that plant wasn't inspected enough. There's too few inspectors and too many plants.
Gary, is West Virginia the most toxic state in the country?
Now, what does the chemical do? What is the...
Yeah, so that particular chemical, it's an alcohol. So it's not ethanol. It's a long chain, actually a cyclic chained alcohol. So it would be the main concern I would have without knowing the chemical intimately would be a reproductive, if a pregnant woman drank it during pregnancy, would it affect the brain development of the child? It hasn't been well tested. So we're working somewhat in the dark in terms of all the possible endocrine and reproductive effects the chemical could have. So as a prudent precaution, they said don't drink the water, especially if you're pregnant. They set up a criterion, and now the levels are dropping below that criterion. So there is still some tainting of the water that they're allowing people to drink unless you're pregnant. So I think that they took a responsible action in West Virginia to make sure that people weren't drinking really badly tainted water.
I was going to ask if you thought West Virginia is one of the most toxic states in the country.
I wouldn't be fair.
All due respect.
I'm not going to dump on any one state. New Jersey has the reputation because of all the Superfund sites in New Jersey. Per capita, per land area, New Jersey has had the reputation in toxicology that if you want a job, that's where you go.
Okay, so and all due respect to people, of course, in West Virginia, but it seems to be they have their share of issues when it comes to that and with a coal mining.
Yeah, this could be a bit of a tip of an iceberg because we know that in coal production, there's a number of chemicals that are used that can find their way into groundwater or drinking water, and many, many of them do not have federal standards, so they're not tested for. Only the chemicals for which we have what's called an MCL or a maximum contaminant level, a criterion will actually get tested. But many of the coal chemicals are, you know, these cleanup chemicals that that are not the typical solvents you find from other industries. So there is a chance, I'd say more in West Virginia than in some places, that there could be untested chemicals in the water. But, you know, I always say to people, test your drinking water if you're on a well for just about anything you can test for.
Yep, you've said that many times before. I remember you saying that many times. Is our house plumbing, Gary, is it harboring harmful bacteria? What can you tell us?
Well, the Salt Institute funded a study by Arizona State University to look at whether pipes, we're talking PVC pipes, plastic pipes, or copper piping that's in a typical house plumbing, would they grow more bacteria if the water was hard, high mineral water, that wasn't properly softened so that you'd have what we call buildup of minerals on the pipes or scale. If scale is growing in your pipes, does that mean you're going to have deadly or dangerous bacteria like Legionella growing in the pipes and affecting the whole house? So sure enough, you know, there's no surprises in this study that if you give more surface area in the pipes, if the pipes aren't smooth, and scale builds up, that there's extra little nooks and crannies for bacteria to latch onto and start colonizing. And so they incubated these pipes with E. coli, and they found more E. coli in the ones with the scale. No big surprise. And so the bottom line with this, again, it's not a major news story, is that if you've got hard water, which I do at my house, you've got to soften the water with something like salt. I go to the Salt Institute paid for the study. I think it was to prove the point. If you've got hard water, buy their product and make sure you soften the water, because not only does it not, you don't feel clean in the shower, but it's also not good for your appliances. The bacteria issue, I think, is a minor one. There's no epidemiology study that shows that people who have hard water are getting Legionella or more of any other kind of disease. But just remember that if you're on your own well, your water isn't chlorinated, so there's always a chance for bacteria to be in your tap water, and you should have your well tested if you're near a farm, if, you know, some chicken manure washed down into your well or whatever. You should always test your well for nitrate and bacteria about once a year if you're on a private well. Same thing as we had from the last story.
All right, Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo. I think all of us as kids had our hair washed with Johnson & Johnson because it claimed no more tears. You know, we didn't cry when mom got the shampoo in our eyes. Are they making improvements in their product?
Well, is it no more tears and no more toxics? Well, that's what J&J is trying to do. They've had pressure put on them by some interest groups that said, look, we can point to you, J&J, point out to you where on your label and where in the product are a couple of carcinogens. And carcinogens and children should not be in the same sentence. And unfortunately, with this particular J&J product, they were in the same sentence. There's formaldehyde and 1,4-dioxane. And J&J did take it seriously. They probably didn't like the bad press they were getting. You know, as a toxicologist, I don't think that having your kid shampooing with no more tears over the years is really going to give them an increased cancer risk. It's just washing off them, probably not a lot of absorption. They're not drinking it. However, it's really a good idea, sort of a wholesome, pure approach to children's products. Get the carcinogens out. J&J figured out a way to do it. As of 2014, it's a victory for the consumer. And, you know, Joe and Mike, this is really where the battleground has gone in toxics. Instead of the federal government, through their limited powers, trying to clean up the consumer marketplace, now it's consumers and consumer groups telling the manufacturers or the retailers like Walmart, who's also done a lot lately, they don't want the toxics.
All right, we'll leave it there with Dr. Gary Gensberg. WhatsToxic.com is his website. More of the top medical news stories of the week on the way. Youth the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.